Will you go? Because anything else would be uncivilized.
These are the blinds that I'm constantly looking through because there's just an abundance of air traffic. It's literally like being in a war zone, helicopters, drones that we now found out were made in China, and new facial recognition scanners. God knows if they're capable of shooting bullets or lasers at you. I mean, this is the kind of world we're living in, and this is the kind of reality I am centered in right here in Los Angeles. But we are in a proxy war with China in Israel, who made an alliance for a new financial system for this one world government. The ID 2020 is just a little thing attached to it. This is more than a virus. This is World War III, and it's about to go hot. So get ready. This is real, and it's going to get even realer.
Israel was created as the instrument to bring about the Battle of Armageddon and the fulfillment of prophecies, where nuclear weapons will be used so that the American citizens and the other people in the world will get down on their knees and beg for no more war. They're going to be told the only way we can guarantee no more war is if we destroy the sovereignty of nations and we come together as one humanity and one world government. And tell us the American people, wake up and stop the battle, get into reality.
We're going to experience what we've never imagined.
World at War, Armageddon. Good evening, everybody, wherever you may be. Welcome to the number one late night show here at Real Deal Media. I'm still Dean Ryan as tonight's World at War. And what a title for a show, because that's exactly what people around the world are witnessing, experiencing, sharing, articulating, and illustrating in some cases, but yet fearing. And the spectrum of optimism for some seems to be becoming part of the memory hole of yesteryear, because it is vital. These days and these hours are ticking as the doomsday plane that you saw in the beginning of tonight's intro is certainly now underway, as we're going to be getting into everything Iran, everything Israel, as it is now, just 5 minutes after midnight. I mean, that's how far we are in this game. This World War III, as it was prophesized, as it was kind of said to be by many pundits, military or otherwise, over the years, is really coming into its own footprint as reality is biting us in the derriere on the daily. But when I have to say, we were definitely born for these times. everything we've been through in the past 4 years has really brought us to this very moment. Whether you have reached your own conclusions, doing your own due diligence and research about how this total World War III drill, if you will, is going to play out, or if you came to your own conclusions by maybe following a QAnon who dastardly said in one of the postings they're saving Israel for last, and here we are. Or if you thought you knew what you were always told and now are figuring out everything that you learned, that you were told was true, and this happened that way, everything we were told and learned is now upside down and subverted and was a lie. So tonight is episode is Armageddon, and how fitting, because the Armageddon they want is psychological for now, but they're going to try to make it go kinetic any moment now. So we're going to be getting into just a whole slew of things. Joining me tonight in the second half is our very own UK insider, Forseti, as we're going to get into some of the insider minutiae of how this Iranian Ayatollah, if he's legitimate or not, what the actual plan is. What is going to be the Hegelian dialectic of how this thing is going to be rolled out in the aftermath? What is the Klaus Schwab role, who is not feeling well, who is in the hospital with some quote-unquote heart issues. One of our Real Deal members said, well, doesn't he have to have a heart to have issues? Well, very, yes, observant, so very good. So we're going to be getting into that and exactly what is the plan. And also, speaking of Iran, we're going to be talking about this Iranian The imam, the head, not Khomeini, but the new Ayatollah, but is not as famous as Khomeini. What is his fate? Who are they going to replace him with? Just like who are they going to replace Klaus Schwab with? So we're going to be touching upon that and the underground kind of CERN modular that is now underway in formation while we're distracted with the World War III theatrics. What is their bigger plan as we close the 2024 year out later down the road? So we're going to be getting into a whole host of things here tonight that my head is spinning like an underground, just tunnel boring manufacturing system. So that's how we are. So anyways, before we get started, we are broadcasting now live on The Real Dean Ryan over there on Facebook. Yes, yes. It will be heavily redacted tonight, and I'm anticipating and hoping for it, as well as Dean Ryan TV over there on YouTube, Twitter, and Rumble, and Brighteon. Hello, everybody. Yes, it is Monday, isn't it? So we are going to get started with a few headlines from around the world and in your neck of the woods. Well, there it is. There it is. Old glory. And how beautiful is it? Well, yes, you might have heard over the weekend, that the Iranians had a response to the attack on their soil, on the embassy, at behest of Israel there. There was definitely an attack, as the Iron Dome was showing its prowess, if that, in front of the entire universal global audience, yes. But now Israeli military has now vowed to vows Iranian attack will be met with response. Yeah, that's true. Will be met with response. Well, you might have heard a little blurb we put out just the other day. I don't have to play it all over again, but Mike Adams, who has been on the geopolitical landscape here as a bullseye artist, he has said, but kind of now makes sense, that it was all war theater, meaning the Iranian guard, they gave the Israelis guards a call and say, hey, we're going to be doing a little missile strike. We just want to let you know. Here we go in about 5 minutes. So there's definitely some war theatrics, as we kind of coined it many, many moons ago, that we're going to be seeing some major war thespians, as this time is leading us up to the big nuke scare as the end and final chapter of the pandemic that we're leading up to any moment now, or maybe towards the end of the year. We'll see how that works. We'll see how that works, because definitely the election is a definite factor in the game. Well, the Israeli military announced now it will retaliate against the Iranian drone and missile attack over the weekend that was mostly defended with the help of U.S. forces. Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. Well, the IDF Chief Staff General Herzi Halevi, well, just this past Monday, which if depending on when you're watching, declared that the Iranian attack, which was the first ever on Israel launched from Iranian soil, will be met with a response. Yes, and they've been wanting to have a response. These psychotic military-industrial just murderers, killers, that's kind of who we're talking about here. Well, here's a quote. Iran wanted to harm the strategic capabilities of the state of Israel. That is something that had not happened before. We were prepared for the Iron Shield operation, preparation that brought Iran to also meet air superiority, Halevi said in a statement there. Yeah. Yeah, it's a very serious ordeal here. Very serious ordeal. Now, in response to that, in the game of tough talk, well, Joe Biden, who is not so much just gung-ho these days, he's not so much a just, you know, storming Norman Schwarzkopf at this point, and you'll see why in an upcoming report. But now, what did Iran say in retaliation to that? Well, now they're warning, Iran warns of retaliation against U.S. forces in the Middle East if Biden supports Israel militarily. That's right. And this is going to be a big, big blow on the gas tank, the food prices. You thought the food demic was over, and it's saying, hold my beer. We're just getting started, because now Iran issued the warning. They'll begin targeting American troops in the Middle East if the administration of the mass bandit himself, Joe Biden, decides to intervene military to support the Israeli forces following the potential Iranian retaliatory attacks. So yeah, Tehran over there, the capital of Iran, has been threatening retaliatory strikes against Israel for weeks. So, I mean, yeah, this is the case. We're not in Kansas anymore. We now are really facing the Armageddon, the world at war. Yes. Continuing. Well, now at least three U.S. officials, that is, in recent days stated that Iran had sent warnings to the mask bandit himself, Biden, and his just regime, that through several intermediary nations, and it warns against the U.S. getting involved in expected fighting between Israel and Iran. The message was sent to the Biden administration and also makes clear that Tehran views the U.S. responsible for the Israeli attack that killed Zahedi in Damascus. That's one of their top generals over there at the Iranian Guard. Now, U.S. statements maintain that it had no involvement in the strike. They didn't even know that was going on. They said it wasn't me. But the Iranian message made it clear that it would see the U.S. intervention in a possible conflict that Israel as confirmation of an American involvement, and then would see the U.S. bases in the whole region of the Middle East as a legitimate target and fair game. Wow. Well, we can make a case that the missiles were definitely funded by us and provided by the United States. And that's why we are now heading to an Armageddon, are we not? Feels that way, doesn't it? Well, in this next report, the case can be made that there's a lot of theatrics going on, but there's a lot of pushback, and there's a lot of just kind of bad actors all over the board game here as we play the electronic battleship from hell. Well, here in this next report, I think you'll get a better glimpse and perspective of how this is really going to go. Check this out. We'll talk about it after. The stage is set. Israel's response to Iran's most recent attack could be imminent and coordinated with the United States. Israel's war cabinet met several hours on Monday. Following the meeting, the officials said they believe a swift response is very important. It's very, very important. Cabinet reportedly discussed multiple diplomatic military options. The officials said any response will be coordinated with Americans, the Israeli cabinet says. These comments by the officials claiming to want to coordinate attacks with the United States. The mass bandit himself previously told the war prime minister Benjamin Netanyahu that his country would not participate in any counteroffensive against Iran. Why is that? As we know, the Strait of Hormuz, controlled by Iran, and the oil flow will soon be closed. Any attack is thwarted on the country of Iran, which would then indicate and perpetuate inevitable collapse of the United States petrodollar. And bring one of the last superpowers to heel.
Obviously, it's going to impact on the world economy, number one, on the price of oil, not only because Iran is a major supplier of oil, but also because Iran is located in that basin. Shoot up because Iran can also block the Straits of Hormuz. There's Iranian territory on this side and Oman on that side. It's not difficult for Iran to block the Straits of Hormuz and disrupt or the passage of oil tankers. So we can anticipate fairly confidently that the price of oil is going to escalate dramatically once the attack takes place. And the American government knows that. And that's why the American government does not want Iran to be attacked. The American government knows, and the Federal Reserve knows, and the bankers also know, that the US dollar is going to collapse. It will not survive an Israeli attack on Iran.
Committed to a ceasefire that will bring the hostages home and preventing conflict from spreading beyond what it already has.
Months following the stand down of October 7, 2023, many headlines of Western media have been warning of retaliation at behest of Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran. Even FBI Director Wray has been pushing the scaremongering fear as the conditioning to accept the inevitable domestic attack here in the United States is inevitable. Never mind the open borders, wide open. It's to expect 9/11 all over again. Will this go around? Many people have spoken out against this theory propagated by the deep state, by the military-industrial complex, security state. Even Army intel officers are speaking out, saying that these false flags, these attacks, will not be carried out by Iran, but by Israel themselves.
Attacks inside the United States and blaming it on Iran, that's been my speculation for a long time. And I do think they're going to do it. And the usual suspects, these criminals like Christopher Wray and the rest of these traitors in Congress are more than happy to back it because it means a perennial authoritarian police state.
Holy shit. Well, now that seems to be a case is now Marina Del Rey, California, Chicago, Illinois, New York. Even a repeated knife butchery of an attack in Sydney were all underway simultaneously in a coordinated fashion to push a Hegelian dialectic of problem, reaction, solution. Problem, Iran wants to kill Westerners. Reaction, do something. Solution, World War III, bomb Iran.
American energy and Pennsylvania energy is our big problem.
The American people, including independents and some Republicans, know how bad he is, know how much he's misrepresented, know how he's getting close to getting us in a war. I said, as the walls close in on this man, I'm worried he's going to get us to war in Iran.
Should the war of all wars between Israel and Iran truly go to the next level? Many scholars alike, conspiracy realists from yesteryears, have all said, including Albert Pike, he will unleash an apocalyptic hell upon the world. Described in one media report as bringing the world to the gates of hell, an Israel versus Iran war would quickly go nuclear, leading to mass death, destruction, and an exponential rate. Many have said that in an attempt to make Iran surrender, Israel would attempt a non-lethal nuclear detonation. When that fails, Israel would launch 50 nuclear weapons towards Iran, which responds by nuking an airbase full of U.S. troops. At this point, the war game simulations and many
Military pundits who claimed such devastation have stated that Syria, Lebanon, even Yemen will all be left in a radioactive ruin. In the event that Iran and Israel find themselves in a nuclear stalemate, the West would likely enter the conflict to its own demise as well. U.S. intelligence is already warning Israel that such an outcome is possible after the Zionist state killed several top Iranian commanders in a bombing of an Iranian embassy in Syria. Iran has since vowed to punish Israel for the bombing through this, and has not yet happened. Iran has vowed to punish Israel for this bombing and vows that revenge is within their grasp. Israel and the Netanyahu war cabinet, in a crime spree, terrorists domestic and abroad, have now sealed their fate. There is no turning back. Because turning back would incite prosecution, war crimes, and an international trial for all to see. Well, the dual citizens and the military-industrial complex maniacs destroy themselves in the process, or will a divine intervention, clarity, and the American people stand up to the brutal fascism of the 20th century that is now showing its final chapters, as desperation truly is the deep state way. For World at War, this is Dean Ryan.
Yes, something to think about there. Something to think about. We are watching a huge theatrical performance on a grand scale, aren't we? And in case you missed it, here's what did Mike Adams say? Because Mike's been on the money and he called it long ago. Here's a few seconds of just how that went. But wait till I show you, just after this little clip here, wait till I show you what's in Iran. And you're going to put two and two together and you're going to say, okay, we are watching the Juilliard School of the Military Industrial Complex edition. Are we not? Isn't that the case, Mike Adams?
Special analysis for Real Deal Media. This is Mike Adams here from Brighteon.com. What you just saw with the Iran attack on Israel, that was all staged. It was coordinated theater, actually negotiated in advance, in order to give Iran a win by saying, hey, we launched a bunch of rockets and missiles and drones, and look, we damaged their runways on their military bases. But also designed to give Israel a win to say, look, we knocked down 99% of everything, and it's all good, and we can repair the runways. We won. So the question is, will Israel be wise enough to take the win? Or will the psychopaths, namely Netanyahu and his war cabinet, through their arrogance and their murderous ways, will they say, no, we got to strike back Iran harder now? If they do that, the real war begins, and it won't be negotiated, and it won't be theatrics, and they won't just be hitting runways on military bases. So if the real war unfolds, it will escalate quickly. Prepare for that possibility.
So there you have it. Look at that. The Iran parliament over there in Tehran, the Messianic parliament. Yeah, it's his, what you would think it would be. And no, that's not Las Vegas Boulevard. And that's not the Luxor Pyramid Casino. That I can assure you. But that's what we're dealing with here. That's what we're dealing with. So now let's get to some real deal politics and try to piece it together from a different truly unholy perspective, shall we, as now the heat's getting turned up as today, April 15th, tax day. Yes, one of those days that nobody looks forward to, but it's also the day that was described by Donald Trump as a day that was going to be unleashing all hell will be breaking loose, unquote. Yes, it is. That's definitely the truth. And even, if you recall, he dared the judge to choke on it, or try to choke him and see what happens. So that's where we are. But here it is. Let me tell you about this now. This is coming from the Daily Yeast over there. Yes, gloves off now. The district attorney, who I've yet to meet a decent one, that's what it's not, really not, but wants Trump punished for contempt of court on day one. So yeah, today was the big court date, not on Russian collusion or anything, just espionage or treason, but kind of like a episode of People's Court, but with celebrity guests, as now the Manhattan District Attorney's Office over there in New York wants the judge overseeing the first trial against former American president, they're saying, to start it off with a lunging attack, as he did, asking the court to personally sanction Donald Trump for his verbal onslaught against witnesses in this case. Well, shortly soon after, just around noontime, before they broke for lunch, the assistant district attorney, assistant DA, Christopher Conroy, formally asked the judge to fine Trump $1,000 for each post that violates the court's order. Now, the direct defendant to take down the offending post, he asked, remind him that further violations could result in jail time, the assistant DA said. He then elicited laughter in the courtroom when he noted that one of the offensive posts was made at 9:12 this morning. So posts are offensive, and I guess they can get you fined $1,000. And just incredible. Well, that you can find those on Truth Social. In a message to his followers, he shared the following, quote, a serial perjurer will try to prove an old misdemeanor against Trump in an embarrassment for the New York legal system, which I didn't even know they still had one over there in New York. Well, the judge did not immediately just issue a ruling of any kind, instead breaking for lunch and maybe some wind too, but only after ominously staring at Trump while hearing prosecutors describe the language in several posts. Can you imagine that? I mean, they're just like reading a script there. Just the Juilliard theatrics continues. Well, Joshua Steinglass, Mr. Steinglass, or as it reads to some, Stain, the stained glass, an assistant district attorney who led previous tax fraud trials against the Trump Organization, had telegraphed the incoming request early during a long presentation on various issues this Monday morning. Well, he said that the DA's office would soon be, quote, seeking order to show why defendant shouldn't be held in contempt. Now, if successful now, I must say, if successful, the move would put Trump, who's already fighting for his freedom, many have speculated, even further in a hole as he defends himself in, yes, you guessed it, the Stormy Daniels case. Yes. Well, Steinglass said Trump has, quote, violated the court's order not to make statements about foreseeable witnesses. And noting how the business tycoon keeps raging about his some key players in the case, Stormy Daniels, the porn star, he allegedly had physical relations with in 2006. Yeah. Yeah, they just wrestled around there as Michael Cohen watched, the former lawyer he employed to cut a quote-unquote hush money to deal to keep quiet during the 2016 election. And, you know, my understanding is the whole escort transaction is they get paid to go away. I mean, isn't that the whole kind of process? I mean, I could be wrong, I suppose. Well, prosecutors pointed to a post that Trump made on social media, or his Truth Social Media, that is, website, where he said, quote, thank you to Michael Avenatti for revealing the truth about two sleazebags who have, with their lies and misrepresentations, cost our country dearly. That's right. Yeah, it's so, you know, they're really just pulling for straws and branches and anything available at this point. And here's a little sample of what that entailed as Trump gets out of the courtroom, which, by the way, then goes to the rally, I believe, the previous night. In the pay attention to what the rally is chanting. It's quite a change of direction for some. I think you'll know what I'm talking about. As Genocide Joe, hashtag Genocide Joe, seems to be the slogan that is sweeping the nation coast to coast. Here it is. Well, you know what? I just realized, you know what? We don't have that. Something happened. What you would have seen if the new intern was just not a just total dummy and would have put that in there when I asked him to. But what you're about to see here, if this loads, is he's going to come out of the courtroom and the judge is not allowing Donald Trump to go to his own son's high school graduation. If you don't know, his son, Barron, who is, I think his nickname is Hightower at this point. The kid is like nearly 7 feet. He's a whiz, a genius. They're saying they're gearing him up, and you could totally tell, grooming him to be the president in the future, if it's not AI. But yeah, the judge wouldn't let him go to the high school graduation for him. He wouldn't let him go to the funeral for his former ex-wife, Ivana. Yes. So that's the kind of just trial that we're enduring here. Here it is. And I'm going to fire the intern after the show tonight, very publicly. Check this out.
Amazing things happened today. You know, my son is graduating from high school, and it looks like the judge will not let me go to the graduation of my son, who's worked very, very hard. He's a great student. I'm so proud of the fact that he did so well. And I was looking forward for years to have graduation with his mother and father there. And it looks like the judge isn't going to allow me to escape this scam. It's a scam trial. If you read all of the legal pundits, all of the legal scholars today, there's not one that I see that said this is a case that should be brought for trial. It's a scam. It's a political witch hunt. It continues. It continues forever. And we're not going to be given a fair trial. It's a very, very sad thing. In addition, as you know, next Thursday, we're before the United States Supreme Court at a very big hearing on immunity. And this is something that we've been waiting for a long time. And the judge, of course, is not going to allow us. He's a very conflicted judge. And he's not going to allow us to go to that. He won't allow me to leave here for a half a day, go to D.C. and go before the United States Supreme Court because he thinks he's superior, I guess, to the Supreme Court. We've got a real problem with this judge. We've got a real problem with a lot of things having to do with this trial, including the D.A. Because you go right outside and people are being mugged and killed all day long, and he's sitting here all day with 10 or 12 prosecutors over nothing, over what people say shouldn't be a trial. So I just want to thank you very much, but that I can't go to my son's graduation, or that I can't go to the United States Supreme Court, that I'm not in Georgia or Florida or North Carolina campaigning like I should be, it's perfect for the radical left Democrats. That's exactly what they want. This is about election interference. That's all it's about. Thank
American
you.
Energy and Pennsylvania energy is our big problem.
They're not wrong. They're not wrong. Somebody said, I saw this. Somebody said, is that Henry Rollins standing next to Donald Trump? You know what? Upon second glance, you might be onto something. That did really replicate Henry Rollins. Anyways, moving on here. So, there's somebody that seems to be missing now from a very, very big position. And I'm talking about Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Yes, this is very stunning. We can kind of guesstimate of what exactly is going on. I mean, I don't think he called in sick. Do you call in sick at that point? Well, anyways, yes, that's just it. Justice Clarence Thomas is now absent from the U.S. Supreme Court session as of today. Yes, the Clarence Thomas was not on the bench today, as other eight justices heard arguments with no reason given for his absence. No doctor's note, no note from his mother or anybody that knows him. Thomas, who is a whopping 75 years old, is the oldest and longest serving member of the court and is part of the 6-3 conservative majority. I did not know he was the oldest. He was always the youngest guy, wasn't he? Well, he was appointed to the top U.S. judicial body over there back in 1991, if you recall, by George Bush Sr., the heretic himself. Yeah. Well, Chief Justice John Roberts, that is, noted the absence of Thomas at the beginning of the arguments in the first two cases before the court just earlier today, but did not offer any explanation and didn't really seem to be just very perplexed about it. Well, Roberts said that Thomas would, quote, participate fully in the cases by using written legal briefs in the transcripts of the arguments. A court spokeswoman and a courtside reporter had no further comment or any additional information to give to the lamestream urine soap media. Isn't that weird? Where could he be? Is there an assassination attempt that is now underway for certain key people as some key decisions in the Supreme Court Maybe that has to do with 2020. Might be around the corner. Very good question. Thank you for asking. Moving on now. Well, speaking of debriefing, how about debanking? Is now Bank of America. Yes, Bank of America is now accused of religious and political discrimination by debanking or refusing to service Trump supporters or anyone slightly right of mousy tongue as we go further into the Great Reset. Well, Christian churches in Republican-led states want some answers. And Bank of America said, well, get in line. Well, yes, that's right. Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach is now sending a letter to B of A CEO seeking some answers. And by the way, we've heard about this in the UK. There were debanking Nigel Farage, some other just very, you know, what you might call just very outspoken people. And this is how it starts and gets into the social crediting scores. And these bankers, you know, I've never met a hemp rope that really doesn't suit them very well. Well, his letter was co-signed, in addition, by officials from a dozen Republican-led states. Yes, yes, indeed. It details how the bank appears to discriminate against Christians for now, and then it's going to be others later. Well, a dozen Republican-led states also who signed the petition to go bank yourself. Well, they said they're demanding an explanation. They want it now because none of this makes sense if you're not paying attention. Well, led by the Kansas Attorney General, as stated earlier, Mr. Kobach, well, it demands the final the financial institution turn over their documents related to its account cancellation policies. You see? And requested the bank update its terms of services to not discriminate against clients with certain political beliefs or religious beliefs for that. And I will also add Stripe. Stripe, the payment processor and PayPal, they do things like this with no accountability, no recourse, and no remittance, and no representation whatsoever. It was done to me, and this is why we can't do the Rumble, Locals, or the one on Twitter. Everything goes through Stripe. And then you see who runs Stripe. It's a globalist, little ginger gingerbread man heretic. Who needs to be just a jump rope from the hemp world. So yes, now here's what they're saying, kind of in closing here. The letter is now co-signed by the following states. And this is a very big eye-opener as how the country will be reshaped very, very soon. Well, the letter was co-signed by officials from Alaska now, Arkansas, Indiana, Iowa, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, South Carolina, Texas, and Utah. Yes, yes, it was. And, you know, no comment from Bank of America, and I'm not holding my breath for them to give me one. So that's how that one is. And we certainly saw them. They turned over all the information, banking records and information, people who went to the deadliest day in mankind, the day after January 5th. And we also know that the Federal Bureau infiltrators were seeking the information of people, Americans, who bought firearms and ammo from certain part of 2020 towards the end of it. Did we see that? So Bank of America has a lot to answer for. Their biggest equities in the Federal Reserve, which cannot be audited. And that's where all the cartel money and all the dirty, dirty money is totally located. Anyways, we're going to take a quick break here at World at War. But when we get back, we're going to get into the international worlds and really kind of see what is going to be the aftermath of this theatrical performance of the Swan Lake featuring Iran and Israel and the just very cheap guided bombs that seem to be dropping everywhere. We're going to talk about that with our UK insider Forseti. Plus, we're going to talk about Russia and Finland and the lifespan of NATO, which is highly regarded in coverage in my most recent article, plus a scandal that is rocking the UK. I have the photos. I almost gagged. It was disgusting of a big politician in UK who was found in a very, very bad position. And I'm afraid I might have to show it. And so I'm apologizing ahead of time. So anyways, stand by. You're watching World at War. We'll be back after this quick message. Don't go anywhere. Or doom.
La Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Jones, that there isn't a single word in the Bible for sex other than knowledge, and Adam came to know his wife Eve. You're bringing up butt plugs and all this other disgusting stuff. I didn't discuss your peepee.
No, he didn't, but he did talk about coffee and the type of coffee he wants as coffee mug madness continues. Yes, that's right. RealDealMedia.tv/store. Should use promo code Coffee24 for some additional major savings. We just love getting it out there because it's true artistry, and the world needs more color in art. Isn't that the case? Welcome back, everybody. I am still Dean Ryan, who is your cruise director, cruising with you to midnight and beyond. And yeah, that's true. I have my coffee mug here. I just had it earlier. Anyways, you can definitely do that. And also, we want to say thank you to our big Give, Send, Go participants who keep these broadcasts going in a time of major, massive censorship. And I also want to add to favoritism, too. Yeah, you'll never see us on the front page of Rumble because we're not part of the Conservative Inc. And I don't have Patriot Switch to talk to you about. Yes, that's right. And I don't have my Yosemite Sam beard with my flannel shirt and my my Skechers. I'm not sure at this point. Anyways, but thank you very much out there. This is the People's Network and show. And you can do that by going to givesendgo.com/realdealgo. givesendgo.com/realdealgo. Thank you in advance. And become a night owl too. Yes, become a visionary, debonair, player from the Himalaya, and make sure you tell the world and ask them the question, who, as in you're a night owl. Become a Real Deal Media member. Yes, go to realdealmedia.tv/membership. Do it tonight. We have some big plans for you this weekend and some weird stuff that I saw. I'll share with the members at a different time. We are going to continue now with our international, but look at this here. I wanted to share this here. Just overnight, I didn't share this earlier, but we know about all these sleeper cells who have been just activated. We know about the stabbings, the butchery in Australia at the shopping mall. And as I believe he's an Israeli Mossad guy, and they're activating all these sleepers, doing it. You know, they have the miracle jabs and all kinds of RFID chips in these subhuman slaves. It happened again, as you saw, at a monastery or church somewhere over there in Sydney. Looked like a Greek Orthodox. Speaking of the Greeks, they're having a huge population collapse. We're seeing that across the board. But look at this now. This just went down. Excuse me, that's not the one. Where was it? I had it here. But anyways, the radar. Well, this one, yeah, we showed you this over the weekend. But here's what I want to show you right here. This just happened overnight. Let me tell you about this here. This is the National Weather Service right here in the United States. Radars are experiencing a widespread outage, severely impacting the availability of critical weather data. This outage is affecting multiple National Weather Service stations across the region. Despite the disruption, there is soon some relief, no significant severe weather. So yeah, there it is, widespread network outage. How convenient, how special, and how timely. This on the heels of just boats that seem to be crashing in the barges and seem to be crashing in the bridges and taking down the Baltimore one, the one in Ohio. There was another one in Oklahoma. We heard about an 18-wheeler just going off the rails and falling into a train station and a police precinct over there in Texas. Multiple shooters everywhere. I have not seen anything like this since December 26, 2020, when there was multiple shooters around the United States that stemmed all the way from California to Texas. And I believe somewhere in the middle of America, it escapes me. But my point is, why are these happening now all over again, these boats? Well, who's behind that one too? Well, the shipping ports across the United States are heavily, heavily influenced by the CCP, China. China owns a lot of these things. Trump ridded the contract over there in Long Beach to the Chinese, who were given a 40-year contract by Barack Obama. Barry Sotero, the worst saboteur of them all. The long-legged Mac Daddy, as many know him on the streets. Yes, this happened. And we're going to see more of these things, more of these vehicles, these manufacturing boats, shipping boats, because when you get down to it, China has managed to confiscate the engineerings and the manufacturing devices. For instance, the black box in airplanes now, well, they're made by DJI. Which is the Chinese company that makes all the drones that we see, majority of them, and majority of the ones used by every single police precinct in this country. Do you know what that means? Well, it means a couple of things, but let me just, on top of my head. Number one, it means that the drones that are overseeing the landscape, the geography, all the information and data that goes into the police station, goes back to the CCP, you know, front runners over there. In addition to the black boxes now, they can take planes down and they can shut down boats just by a press of a button. That's how these things work. And that's the kind of James Bond movie we're now entering. You see, we all have a little Sean Connery in us sometimes. Anyways, we're going to continue now with some real deal international news, and it's about time, shall we? So here it is. There's the flags of the nation. That's right. F-L-A-G, I said. Okay, so here's what's happening now. Before we bring Forseti on, I have to tell you, there is some good news before I put my Grim Reaper outfit back on. Well, there's somebody who is not feeling well. Yeah, you might have heard about it. Klaus Schwab is now having heart issues. How timely. I believe it was us who shared with you just weeks and weeks ago that Klaus Schwab would be exiting stage left and somebody would be replacing him, who is a former prime minister over there in England, if it's still called that. Yes, Klaus Schwab, who is definitely, you know, probably hiding in Schwabland over there in Antarctica. He could be dead. He could have been dead for a long time. This could be a double, as many doubles are seen just coming out of the woodworks now. Well, Klaus Schwab, who is the head of the World Economic Forum, the pro-bug chef himself, is not feeling well. He's having a bad day. Heart issues, they said. He could be dead. I kind of strongly believe he might be dead. But yeah, so something's happening. But who's going to replace him? We've said Tony Blair. Could it be somebody else? There's a lot of people vying for this position. But to join me to talk about this and some other worldly issues now, as we kind of get into the backstory behind the scenes about this war, about the World Economic Forum, and some salacious findings in the UK politics, is our UK insider himself, Forseti. Forseti, welcome back to World at War.
Hey, it's good to be here, Dean.
You know, let's just get into it. You saw, yeah, Klaus Schwab is facing some heart issues, I'm hearing. And what a just timely thing. Some people said he's dead or just really beaten. Where are we now with this? And how is this going to look? Because this would be a crisis, like if a president went down, isn't it?
Of sorts. So for those who aren't regular listeners, the World Economic Forum is the lobby group that every single world leader is a part of. They're on the payroll, they go to the meetings, and they listen to this guy talk about some form of the Great Reset, which is climate communism for everybody. He's been running this for a long time. His family were Nazis collaborators. It's kind of messed up. But anyway, I digress. So if this guy goes, every single politician's wallet is going to get lighter. And the agenda that he's trying to push that favors the Great Reset, China, all of that will just disappear unless someone takes the role from, well, takes up his mantle.
Right. So, you know, right before this most recent conflict with Iran and Israel, which we're going to get to here in a minute, you know, you saw all of these speeches coming out in these TED Talk kind of forums where they want to get rid of the nation state. And America seems to be one of the last true nation state superpowers. And they are so anti-nation state. And when you look at the EU, EU's anti-nation state, they try to copy the U.S. model creation of the EU, and there's some other reasons too, but who's now just said to replace him? We mentioned this, you and I together, weeks and weeks ago, that it was going to be Tony Blair, and he's definitely in the running. He's tried to be relevant. He hangs out in the EU parliaments, and he drinks a lot of just human blood and locust and all kinds of just goblin-like things. How sure are we, or close to we, finding out that it's Tony Blair who's going to replace Schwab?
So Tony Blair has something called the Tony Blair Institute, which is like a secondary World Economic Forum. So if one falls, the other can carry on. But if he takes over the leadership of the World Economic Forum, both will just get merged. People at home can just Google the Tony Blair Institute and look at your local official and see how much work they did in their campaign. You'll probably send them at funding rallies for politicians as well. And every seedy bit of Middle Eastern warfaring is something to do with the Tony Blair Institute.
Yes, yeah. So you can definitely find that there. Okay, let's get into it now. Let's talk about this conflict here. There's definitely a UK kind of involvement in the sense that, you know, you saw right out of the bat support for Israel at, you know, no questions asked in the beginning. Then I noticed some things change when Barack Obama, about several weeks ago, came to 10 Downing Street, which then brought us the ISIS 2.0 or ISIS-K, whoever they are now, you know, ISIS hyphen somebody else. What is going on from your perspective here? Because the UK's military is so depleted, so is the United States. They seem to be walking back things now about, you know, going to the pits of hell with Israel. Do you see it from that your end about the UK? Are they going to be just going with Israel all the way in this war with Iran?
Well, it looks like everybody's going to be siding with Israel, even though there's a distinct part of the population that is pro-Palestine from the mass migration from Europe, which is probably there just to cause a civil unrest that they're counting on to help enforce the Great Reset. And if you can roll the clip.
Yeah.
One of the big issues with Israel as well is that they've got something called the Iron Dome intersection. The Iron Dome intersection is something that Israel has used for decades to stop incoming missile fire from Iran and other agitators that want to see Israel wiped off the face of the planet. It looks like a fire display. What you're actually seeing here is advanced weaponry that targets missiles, bombs, projectiles, drones. You see it shot out the sky. And Israel chose not to deploy this in the last strike to take on civilian casualties to garner support for the current upcoming conflict they have. So they basically did a false flag operation on themselves in the public eye by not deploying one of the best defensive weapons in human history.
Well, that's just it. Yes, they want a greater war. I mean, one of the head of the defense cabinets for Netanyahu is a man. His name escapes me. I have his photos. I mean, he was indicted and convicted of terrorism, and we certainly see that on display. But let me just recap what you said. You're telling me that that they allowed casualties, which is, I mean, this is not foreign kind of idea here around these neck of the woods, but they allowed some of these missiles that were cheap that were being sent from Iran to land on their own people. Because is that what you're saying?
Yes, because they wanted the support from the rest of the world by going, oh no, we're the victims. We've been hit by these missiles. We didn't see it coming when they've had, from the video you just showed, this deterrent for decades. That's always worked. Never fail, but all of a sudden it didn't work this time. They didn't see it coming, and they suffered civilian casualties. They posted those civilian casualties all over the internet, all over the media, going, look, we need help. This is happening to us. Woe is me.
Interesting. Okay, and here's who I'm talking about, by the way. This gentleman right here is one of the, they're saying one of the most dangerous people. 99% of Americans have no idea. This is Gerald Celente, who's very spirited, but he's the real power in Israel and who the U.S. is fully supporting. Who is he? You might ask. Well, I had his name here, but before I'll get back to him. You might know who he is, but let's get into this now. Okay, we talked about what is the aftermath here. And one of the goals and mission statements and objectives of the Klaus Schwab crew is to rid nation states and overall get ready for the Great Reset, the 15-minute cities. And you shared with me something called the mirrored skyscraper, mega city in the desert. You want to explain what that is in just brief, and then I have a clip to go with it.
For those of you not well-versed in the World Economic Forum, they want to introduce 15-minute cities. So your entire life and you is within 15 minutes. Everything you need in 15 minutes, you never have to leave. That's where you live. That's where you work. That's where you die. That's where you might be allowed to meet people and eat the bugs. That it's quite terrifying. And the way they're going to do this is use the war in the Middle East to make it unlivable, dangerous, so they can come in, swoop in with the Tony Blair Institute, Israel, Netanyahu, all the alumni of the World Economic Forum just go, we're going to create this wonderful bastion of peace, this mirrored skyscraper city, 15-minute cities, bastion of world peace in the Middle East.
And that's yes, what yes. Well, here it is right here. I'm going to play this. This is the plan now. The plan is to get everybody to hate war as Forseti has been sharing with us. And then in that whole region, they want to build the big mega city. This is called the mirrored skyscraper mega city in the desert. I mean, what a title. What a title. Here it is. Check this out. We'll discuss after.
Is more than 100 miles long, with hanging gardens and spectacular views. This might sound like something straight out of a sci-fi movie, but one ambitious country has started to build the world's most extravagant linear smart city, and it looks nothing like your average city. Join us today as we explore this extraordinary upcoming mega project that will eclipse every other megacity construction in the world.
Okay, so that's just a little sample of it. I'm going to play a little bit more too in a little bit. Forseti, this is a frightening prospect for anybody that just likes sovereignty of their own persons, because these 15-minute cities require worldwide genocide, not just in Palestine and what have you. They require a depopulation because they cannot fit the entire human race in these places. But these are, and correct me if I'm wrong, these are just luxurious prisons, are they not?
We're heading towards a prison planet.
Wow. See, everybody, Alex Jones was absolutely correct on that time frame there. Prison planet. And I'll show a few more things. But yeah, I mean, Saudi Arabia, look at this, just to continue on that. Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, they're all in on that desert oasis there. They want this because they're going to reap the rewards from it. And by the way, here's what I could not find earlier. This gentleman right here, who I shared with you, is running the war for Israel. Netanyahu is just a maniac with not much power. Yeah, wanted terrorists. Menachem Begin blows up the King David Hotel in Jerusalem, becomes Prime Minister of Israel. Itamar Ben-Gvir, that's his name, excuse me. Certified racist, they say. Convicted terrorist becomes Israel's Minister of National Security. Israel gets a free pass. So there you have it. I mean, he's the John Bolton of Israel. We just figured that out. Very, very interesting. Okay, let's now change gears here. Let's talk about Russia here. You might have seen a article that we put out last week. It's this one right here. Russia's peace offer rejected by Finland. Let's talk about that. And there's the Finnish president on the top right, who is rumored to be not a full male, if you can believe that. Let's talk about that. Where are we with that? Let's kind of explain what that is, because a peace offering of sorts was offered to Finland, who's now trying to be the new Ukraine. Is that the case?
Yeah, so the rules of NATO is that you don't border Russia. So you have a country land border. So Finland was a country land border. Ukraine was a country land border. It was just no man's land in the middle. NATO does not encroach on Russia. NATO does not encroach on Russia, and Russia does not encroach on NATO. And since Finland joined NATO, that undid the entire peace thing. For those of you playing at home, you can look up something called Finlanding, which is a geopolitical term that's been used since Finland was established as a country. And it was a remarkable piece, world peace. And now, after they joined NATO, Russia went, look, we don't like it. Let's just give you an easy out. Let's say you made a mistake. Here's a very lucrative trade deal that's heavily in Finland's favor. We'll bolster your economy. And there's such a good amount of trade that we'll rely on each other, so there won't be any conflicts. Don't worry, all be good. And Finland was like, no. And then they built up. I think I disconnected there. And then they just blocked off the borders and basically gave Russia the middle finger. And all this at the behest of the World Economic Forum, NATO, and the European Union.
Well, we were talking about just weeks ago how the West was making backdoor negotiations with Putin, with the Moscow crowd, about pretty much ending NATO. I mean, nobody even can understand why NATO is still a thing, why they have been approaching time after time after time surrounding Russia with NATO bases, NATO troops. Just do we are we going to see the end of NATO anytime soon? Because they're on life support right now. I don't even know what's going to happen to Zelensky, who you shared with me is a Mossad asset, which I could totally see. Just how close are we to seeing a conclusion to the just bad nightmare called NATO?
Well, it's the military-industrial complex, cocaine. The biggest buyer of Russian steel is NATO countries for building NATO weapons. Russia is selling the steel to NATO countries to make the weapons used against Russia. It's just a feedback loop. They're both in on it. They know it's a scam. It's horrible.
It's probably steel that's meant to melt. Okay, let's get into I want to get before we get into the salacious thing here. You shared with me right around the eclipse that was a Y2K repeat, but I also saw it as a military drill right here in the U.S. for something big, a bigger event in the future. You could attribute that to the election in November, or you could attribute it to a bigger maybe fallout, some kind of war kind of proceedings. But you shared with me in regards to the underground, which we've covered at great lengths around here. We even have the show Six Underground. But can you share with me just what exactly is CERN, if they are the just authors of this? What is their plans to do with the underground ordeal here? Because we're seeing some weird earthquakes, whether it's in Turkey or New Jersey. It's happening. What is the long goal here? What's the long game here?
So there's a couple of things. It's either controlled demolitions for building bunkers for elites, or underground 15-minute cities, or to start the 15-minute cities. So you take England, for example. A lot of our towns and cities are built on top of older towns and cities, literally just built right on top. And in newer countries like America, you can't do that. You just have to blow a hole and then move on from there. It could be an earthquake weapon, for all we know. It could just be a war going on underground with weapons. There's just multiple options that what it could be. And anything else I say on that is just speculation, and I'd rather just not speculate. I'd rather get facts as I have them.
Right, good point. Okay, so now we're going to get into the salacious story here. Which, if you have a very weak stomach and you're very sensitive towards very very unpleasant sights, you may want to turn away. But before we do that, there is a different kind of political class in kind of system in the UK. How would you describe Forseti? How would you describe what a lord is? How, because they sit in the House of Parliament, are they above the councilmen or prime ministers? How does that exactly work for an American audience and people around the world?
So we have a parliament, which is elected officials, a House of Lords, which is an unelected body that oversees policy of parliament, and the House of Lords is a hereditary, so it's birthright. Lords and ladies are the landowners. So if you go back to, because England's a very, very old country, if you go back to the feudal days, the kings would give their land to lords, and the lords would work it with the serfs to create little micro nations within England. And it's just a leftover of old-timey fairy tale sort of England.
Yeah,
it sounds like fairy tale. You speak about it, doesn't it? And it's like a lord is a title of the landowner. Lords, dukes, noblemen, and they fill the House of Lords.
It is very old. They still wear the wigs in England, and they may soon change to sultans at the rate England's going, which is just a very cringe rate. So, anyways, this is Lord True. Am I correct on this? This is Lord True right here.
Yeah,
he's a very well known. Okay.
Before we go any deeper into this, people can have a look at this at home if they want to. There's bit of a scandal right now of Conservative Party higher ups in government and parliament. By the way, this isn't how I get my intel. I promise you, I do not get my intel this way. But what's happened is journalists are going on a gay hookup app called Grindr, pretending to be, well, kinky femboys and hitting on higher ups in government. And then those governments come for adult encounters and basically tell them everything they want to hear.
Okay, so here's the big reveal, everybody. This was, you may want to hit the deck now. So this gentleman here, this Lord, Lord True, that's his name.
Whose lineage goes back 300 years.
300 years. He's a Lord for 300 years and maybe Lord no more. And here is what they found. And the first words come to mind is, dear Lord, dear Lord. Okay, so there you have it. That's what they found. You can thank Forseti for that wonderful thing. Okay, kind of in closing to, in a quick, speaking of salacious, any updates on the Sausage King of London? Is the new kind of double, is he working out? And what about Kate's double, who's just terrible? Just nobody's buying it. Any updates with them?
Well, nobody's buying the Kate thing. Even normies are saying they think it's a double at this point. So I think that's just gonna that house of cards is just gonna fall anytime soon at this rate, unless they pull out a major distraction.
Exactly. Well, anyways, Forseti, thank you very much for your just prowess and intel on world affairs here tonight. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good night, everybody.
Okay, there you have it. Thank you very much, Forseti. Oh God, just hopefully you didn't see what I had to endure. He said, when he said to me, he said, Dean, I got a salacious story. I should have said, no, thank you. I'm good. I'm good. Really good. Did you see that out there? Beth Ann says, I got mooned. Yes, you did, Beth. Just for you. Just for you. You did get mooned. We have B. Baker who is hurling, spewing. Yes, yes, you are. We have Solid Gideon saying, nasty gut. Yeah, he needs to work out a bit. Cut the carbs down, if you ask me. If you ask me, and how about on Rumble? Many people are hurling there, too. Okay, that's going to leave us to our very, very final. Well, yes, here it is. Well, tonight I thought I'd do something a little different for my final thought. I do, because there's so much to think about. There's so many thoughts that enter my brainwaves, and it's really hard to place a finger on it. But there's a gentleman named, he goes by Vinny, and he's on this show with, it's called Valuetainment, I believe. And he did a final thought, and just a thought in general that I thought captured the essence of many of us watching here tonight, many of us watching in just, you know, in the future from now. And I thought I'd give Vinny the floor to give my final thought here for World at War and the world at hand. Take it away, Vinny.
This message is to all the leftist, liberal, Democrat losers that for years told us Donald Trump was going to start World War III. And as we all know, it didn't happen. But tonight, my good friend Patrick McDavid posted on X that the Britannica Dictionary definition of world war is a war involving many nations of the world. And as of tonight, April 13th, NATO is in multiple proxy wars. The U.S. is in multiple proxy wars. Ukraine is at war with Russia. And today, as we all know, Iran is at war with Israel. And just a few moments ago, Vladimir Putin declared that Russia will support Iran if the United States attacks Iran's soil in support of Israel. So my message to all the people that warned us about World War III, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Keith Olbermann, Whoopi Goldberg, Joy Behar, Jimmy Kimmel, Stephen Colbert, Rachel Maddow, Jim Acosta, Joe Scarborough, Mika Brzezinski, Anderson Cooper, Don Lemon, Bill Maher, Van Jones, Joy Reid, George Stephanopoulos, the Krasenstein brothers, and last but definitely not least, my very good friend, Steve Schmidt. I say this from the bottom of my heart, and I know I speak for millions upon millions of Americans across the country when I say, fuck you.
Very heartfelt, very enraged American. And that's just the kind of DEFCON 1 we are facing here, whether it be financially, you know, spiritually in some, in many, many cases, but just across the board here, it was a very, very honest final thought. And also, you know, we didn't mention to it, and I'm going to say it, I'll just share it real quick, and I'll put it out there again tomorrow night. In this Kabuki theater that is now underway, as they're ridding Klaus Schwab, there's also a maneuver and a plan to rid the Ayatollah, the current Ayatollah of Iran, to replace him. Do we see? So across the board, the cast changes, the characters changes, but the knowledge, the wherewithal, the understanding, and the rage of right here, everyday Americans and people across the world who are watching here tonight, that only increases as we truly, truly understand that we are more united now across this world than ever before. And we are facing World War III in real time. And that's why this is a world at war. So I want to thank Forseti for being here tonight, our UK insider. And thank you, Mike Adams, for his just incredible just drops of intel. Drops of intel. Yes, Jupiter drops of intel. But until next time, I'm Dean Ryan saying thank you for sharing a bit of your night. Never forget to stay tuned and stay awake. And I'll see you el mañana. Good night, everybody. I do.